The next few minutes, the message is going to be something different. A few weeks ago, I listened to a series of messages and then went to about a passage to see what Dr. Ryrie had to say and Dr. Wiersbe, and it's laid out for our next series that we're starting this morning. And part of that series, someone else is going to be a part of it this morning. This past week, Linda sent me via email something that someone had posted on Facebook, and I'm going to ask her to come as part of this morning's message and read the first part of that posting, if you would. Chastity, if you would, please come and read for us.
Just have it on my phone here, so I'm going to try not to lose my place. Okay, this is titled Pearls and Grace, the New Church Lady. We had a group discussion with some church friends recently, and this question was presented. Do you all feel that Christians are known more for what they stand for or for what they stand against? Everyone agreed, for the most part, Christians are known for what they stand against.
Amen.
As someone who has lived well over half of her life scared to death of Christians and especially the infamous church lady, I remember vividly what it was like to be unchurched, unsaved, and un-everything. I wanted nothing to do with Christianity and the church and their Jesus. And I had a long list of reasons, but they made it abundantly clear that there was a series of events that I was going to have to go through first, before he could ever be mine. It seemed as though I was living in the land of, you have sinned, and you are going to burn in hell, where I belonged, mind you. All the while, the church ladies were living life high on the hog by way of sitting in the front row of the pews and never having had sex before their wedding night. I can remember pulling into church parking lots again and again, sitting there, bawling my eyes out as I watched married couple after married couple walked through the holy doors of, we have it all together, sorry about your luck. I couldn't find the courage to actually go inside. And then finally, I can remember it taking everything I had to walk through those dreaded doors one Sunday morning. With my baby girl in my arms, I was an unwed single mother raising a child on about $6 in an hour, and I had no support of any kind. I left the trailer that morning and looked at the gift that I had received from God, and I told her, we're going to give this Jesus a try. I cried the whole way there, and I wondered if I looked nice enough, good enough, clean enough, churchy enough. I wondered if all of the perfect people there would be able to see me past my missing wedding ring and the beautiful girl on my hip. I wondered if they would embrace me, accept me, allow me in spite of my circumstances, and in spite of my mistakes. I'm sorry to share that I walked into a sea of judgment and condemnation during that season of my life. And unfortunately, it caused me to leave the church for nearly a decade. Because when you're struggling with the lie that is, there is no way that a holy God could love someone like me, and you're hanging on by a thread because life has just been too much, every moment counts. The way that you are received or not, the way the caregivers take your child with kindness or not, the way a seat is made available for you or not.
That's right.
The way you're looked down upon, questioned, or interrogated by church members, or hopefully not. The way someone took the time to speak with you on your way out, or not. The way you are shamed and condemned, or maybe accepted and loved. All of these things, and so much more, are some of the reasons that people will give church and ultimately Jesus another chance.
Amen.
But one of the biggest reasons that I walked away was this. I didn't want what they had. They had made it loud and clear to me what they were against, but they had failed to demonstrate what they were for. I didn't want to be judgmental and critical and look down my nose at people. I didn't want to spend my time pointing out other people's sins and making them feel worse than and less than the thousand ways that they already felt like failures. I've spent lots of time and lots of years with unsaved folks. I've spent lots of time over the years listening to the hearts of the brokenhearted and the downcast and overlooked and shamed and those who have been cast aside by society. And I've listened and I've learned so much.
Amen. Thank you. Acts 11:26 says, "And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch." Christians. Christians. You find the word Christian two other places in the Bible. One where Agrippa tells Paul, "Almost you have persuaded me to become a Christian." And then one other place where Peter defines it in Peter 4, I believe it is, maybe verse 17 or 18, somewhere in that neighborhood. He talks about the suffering of Christians. Everybody knows what an American is, right? If I was to say, "What's an American?" we'd all have an answer. This morning, if I was to ask, "Do you know what an Egyptian is?" everyone would say, "Yeah, I know what an Egyptian is." If I was to ask, "Well, what about a Canadian?" Well, yeah, that's someone that lives in Canada. A comedian, we could pick them out. We know what that is. Jay Leno, Billy Crystals of the world. What about this one? What is a Christian? Something interesting when you ask that statement. If I divided you this morning into groups of 10 and give each of you a piece of paper and a pencil and asked you that question, "What is a Christian?" I'm confident that if you didn't look at the person beside and didn't converse with one who is in your group, out of every 10 of you, there would be 5, 8, maybe even 10 different answers what a Christian is. If I was to walk up to you on the street and ask, "Are you a Christian?" which that doesn't happen much anymore. It used to happen a whole lot more than it does now. But some would say, "Well, what do you mean, Christian? What do you mean by that word?" And some of you would say, "Yes, I'm a Christian, yes." Some would say, "No, but I don't want to be like the church lady." Some would say, "Well, I am, but not like that group." Others would say, "Well, I became a Christian at one point in time in my life." And maybe you would say, "I became a Christian because I prayed a prayer." That's a tradition that I was raised in. I prayed a prayer. I became a Christian. Others would say, "Well, I became a Christian when I was so young, I was baptized and become part of the Christian movement and the church. And so that's how I became a Christian." And some would maybe even say, "Well, I went to an altar and prayed. I prayed through. That's how I became a Christian." Till someone said, "That's long enough, and now it's time to get up." And others would say, "Well, you know, I became a Christian because my mom wanted me to be, or my dad wanted me to be, or I became a Christian because I went through a tough time and there was this crisis in my life and I felt like God was the only answer." Some were told you were a Christian because you finished a class, and maybe you went through a confirmation in a certain church. And I was even too young to remember when I was sprinkled as a child, but that's how I became a Christian. And so you believe that you're a Christian because your parents or your grandparents or someone told you you're a Christian. Some of you, us, were raised in a tradition and thought that your brand was the true brand. You know, I'm the one that's got the truth. And so, and then if you're Catholic here this morning or were raised in the Catholic, you're the church. And when the word church comes up and it's mentioned, it's like, yeah, that's us. But I don't know about all those other churches and people that are in church. And I don't know about, you know, those Protestants, you know, they're so stinking arrogant that, you know, they think they're the only church. And they're the only Christians. And so then there's a group maybe here this morning that if you were to be honest and you were to tell the whole truth, you would say, I hate Christians because of my experience in church or something that happened. Some of what Chastity may have read about. Wow. I asked her to read the first part of that post and that she had had on Facebook because I think it identifies so much what the unsaved and the unchurched world thinks Christianity is all about. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, because it is true that they think that, we need to really look at what we're professing when we say, I'm a Christian. No matter how you were raised, you might say that this is kind of the way it is, isn't it? What she read is true. And I don't want to be that, but every time the preacher gets in the pulpit, he kind of points me in that direction. Let me see if you identify with this definition. Christians are judgmental, homophobic, moralist, who think they are the only ones going to heaven, and secretly, in fact, relish that everyone else is going to hell. Amen? Some of you, that may be the first time you've ever said amen in church. But it's true. We project that persona, that stench of what Christianity or being a Christian really is. And if I asked you, are you a Christian? Is it maybe you would say, well, let me qualify that after the first 5 minutes of the message. You see, good news is none of what we've discussed is what the Bible teaches that a Christian is. And most of what we have been taught about being a Christian is wrong. The fact of the matter is that Christ did not identify with Christians. The word Christian were first called Christians at Antioch, and it was actually a derogatory term. It was those Christians, folks that were looked down upon. And the fact of the matter is, in that setting, at that point in time, it was something that you really didn't want to be identified with, Christians. Christ never identified His followers as Christians. He identified His followers as disciples, those being in the way, and there's a clear set of definitions as to what a disciple is, but not Christian. You see, what she read and these opening comments probably blanket best what the unsaved, the unchurched, and the world's thoughts are about being Christian. And some of you are not going to believe what I've said this morning and what I'm saying is true, and you're going to go home and you're going to get your Bible out and you're going to blow the dust off of it and say, whoo, is that really what it means to be Christian? Then there's this other group of Christians that really have this huge misunderstanding of what God is really all about. And with that, I'm going to ask Perry if you'd dim the lights, and I want you to watch a lengthy video and see if this is you.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh, why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh, okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yep.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay. Yep. Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe 4 to 5, maybe 8 lines right here, that would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus.
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. Compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust?
Time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust?
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just, when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
It's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you know.
That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
no, chisel. No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life?
Yeah.
See, it's a process. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin. But I also did it for another reason. To give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years. These empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character when you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my
ways. I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up.
That's right.
I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror, and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away, just... be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you?
Amen.
You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach your back pocket.
What?
Reach your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just went, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my God.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me?
even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say, you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me, then use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at this as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's...
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you. But maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
Christianity has two extremes. We have a group that says, I've got it all together. I'm going to heaven, and I relish the fact that other people are going to hell. And then I think we have a group that, as he stated so well, we do the dance to get the hug at the end of the day. And yet, Christian, I think, is so well portrayed in, you are God's masterpiece. You're His masterpiece. We just feel like, well, life is supposed to be easy and life is supposed to be a breeze and we're not even supposed to have to change and I don't have to be involved and what is this discipleship and then there's this flip side that, you know, where, well, you must change and you got to have it all together and you got to dress right and you got to look right and you got to have your hair just right, whether it's a men's short or the women's long. And is Christian not confusing? Do we not make it harder than what it's supposed to be? What about when we add the words to Christian, freedom, liberty, grace, mercy? What about if we say, I can't be good? What about the guilt and the disappointment that comes when we stumble? Confused? Then you add into all the different beliefs about the cross. You add in all the different beliefs about the law. You add in all the different beliefs about what you're supposed to do, got to do, don't do, should do, when to do it, how to do it, and not to do it. And yet I ask you, did you not hear him right when he said, did I hear you say you love me? Did I hear you say you love me? Did I hear you say you want to use me? How can I be used? I am the guy in the video. You see, it's not just about a head knowledge. It's not just about what we think Christian is or is supposed to be. It's about you are God's masterpiece. And so I ask you, are you a Christian? How would you define it? I can tell you for the next 6 or 8 weeks, we're going to try to change what you think Christian is to what God thinks Christian should be. And I want to tell you this morning that the word Christian is not what Christ called His followers. And there is a distinct difference between Christian and disciple. A distinct difference. And when He said to pick up your cross and follow Me, it's altogether different than what Chastity read. It's altogether different then I've got it all together. It's altogether different than I am a church member or I've been baptized or I went through confirmation or I was sprinkled or dedicated as a child. It's altogether different than anything, anywhere, any thought process as to what most religion makes it out to be. So you define. In the weeks to come, are you a Christian or are you a disciple? Are you a Christian? Because Christian can be anything we want to make it out to be. And yet Jesus, in His final words to the church, said, go and make disciples. He didn't say a thing about go and make Christians. Let's stand. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, some of you here this morning could say, I'm not a Christian, and Chastity defined the reason why and what she read. Others would say, I'm not a Christian because of what it's made out to be. Others would say, I do the dance to get the hug, and yet I'm really not a masterpiece or a disciple. I just have a facade. I ask you this morning, if you're not a Christian because of other Christians, how about just forget other Christians and give Jesus a chance? Give grace a chance instead of works. Give grace a chance instead of some to-do list or some the way you ought to dress or some something that you got to do, somewhere you got to join. How about grace and the cross? Say, preacher, I'd love to. Please pray for me, but I just can't right now, but I know I need to. Would you pray for me? Anyone? Anyone? I know I need to get Christ in my heart and in my life, but I just don't have the courage right now to do it. But please pray for me. Anyone? If you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you've been guilty, as many have, as I have, of being the church lady or the church guy, why don't we go back to promoting Jesus and discipleship and love and care and thought instead of our beliefs and our ideologies and even our theology? Maybe it's a time that we change our thought process if we ever expect to reach the lost with the gospel of Christ, to where we're introducing them to something other than Christians, and we introduce them to something other than a church. Maybe we need to introduce them to the Savior. Father God, I pray that You'd take what's been said this morning. Yes, different. Yes, mind-boggling. Rattles our cage to think that we actually project some of the things that's been read or some of the thoughts that was shown. God, use it to change our life. Use it to make us different so that we can reach those in our circles of friends, those in our neighborhoods, those in our workplace, those that we rub shoulders with. We reach them with the gospel and not with our Christianity as it's viewed by the unsaved in the world today. In Jesus' name, as we sing, would You come?